This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Not what the doctor ordered.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Tess Viglund. A report due out today shows income for physicians dropped 7% from 1995 to 2003. The Center for Studying Health System Change says the pay cut is making would-be doctors think twice about the kind of medicine they'll practice. The average physician earned around $146,000 in 2003. Specialized surgeons trumped primary care doctors, earning an average $272,000. That's in today's New York Times. Earlier this month, congressional Republicans failed to push through a permanent repeal of the federal estate tax. Opponents argued the government couldn't afford to lose the revenue. But the issue is back. As early as today, the House could vote on a compromise measure. Eric Kneeler has more.
Republican Bill Thomas of California is leading this most recent assault on the estate tax. His bill would allow individuals to inherit $5 million tax-free or married couples $10 million. That's a three-quarters reduction in the current estate tax. Kevin Hassett of the American Enterprise Institute says the reduction may be good politics, but it's not sound economics.
The more prudent economic course would be to make room for this reduction in the estate tax by reining in spending. And the fact that the Republicans haven't tried to do that, I think, suggests that they're not really interested in fiscal discipline at all.
A congressional report released this week says the tax break would cost the government $280 billion over the next decade. Even if the House approves the compromise, it faces a stiff fight in the Senate. In Washington, I'm Eric Kneeler for Marketplace.
Several months ago, more than a dozen airlines came under investigation for alleged price fixing involving the air cargo industry. Now, European and U.S. regulators are looking into whether there's price fixing on passenger tickets as well. British Airlines is among those targeted in the probe. On the summer solstice yesterday, Sanyo announced plans to triple its sales of solar panels by 2010. Rachel Dornhelm reports there was also big stateside news on the solar front.
Silicon Valley company NanoSolar announced it is building the world's largest factory for solar power cells right in Northern California. Since first developing solar technology, the United States has trailed Japan and Europe in its production. But now NanoSolar, started with money from Google's founders, is expected to almost triple U.S. solar output. Solar is an $11 billion industry. Clean energy analyst Joel McCower says in the next 10 years, it will jump to $50 billion.
We've been waiting for this moment in solar where the volume ramps up, and so instead of being a low-volume, high-price boutique energy supply, it's a high-volume, low-price mainstream commodity.
McCower says it makes sense for NanoSolar to put its factory in California. 80% of the country's solar installations are in the Golden State. The other big cluster, at 10%, is in New Jersey. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
The first day of summer proved a hot one on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow rose 104 points, just shy of a percent, and the day at 11,079. Strong earnings reports from Morgan Stanley and FedEx helped boost blue chips. The Nasdaq added 34 points, more than a percent and a half, to finish at 2441. The S&P tacked on 12 to close at 1252. This is Marketplace. Stock markets across Asia rallied today on the heels of Wall Street's strong showing. Hong Kong and South Korea rose more than a percent. Japan's Nikkei stock average soared 3.3%. Jocelyn Ford has more from Beijing.
Japanese investors were cheered by strong earnings from U.S. companies. If the U.S. economy is in good shape, then America will continue to suck in more Japanese cars and electronics. Last month, Japan's trade surplus grew for the first time in almost a year and a half. Exports to the U.S. were up 20%. Cars accounted for almost half of that increase. And there's no sign of U.S. interest in Japanese products slowing down anytime soon. But stock market analyst Gary Evans of HSBC says that doesn't mean Japan's stock market is out of the woods.
I think the volatility is going to continue for some time. The market's down 20% over the past 6 weeks. I don't think markets recover immediately when you see that sort of decline.
Evans believes markets will continue bouncing around for several more months. I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By SHRM and the Great Place to Work Institute, releasing the best small and medium companies to work for in America on June 26th at the SHRM Annual Conference and Exposition. And by Picture House, presenting the Robert Altman film, A Prairie Home Companion, with a cast that includes Garrison Keillor, Meryl Streep, and Lily Tomlin, now in theaters.
This is Marketplace. I'm Tess Viglund. In Germany today, the U.S. national soccer team takes on Ghana at the World Cup. Not only does it have to win this game to advance to the next round, but by cup math, Italy has to beat the Czech Republic. Odds aside, it is one incredible event to attend, and sitting in the stands in Nuremberg today will be our own Scott Jagow. Earlier this week, he took some time out of his very busy World Cup schedule to chat with us.
Well, I'm actually in the Augustiner Beer Garden in Munich, which is one of the oldest and nicest beer gardens in this city, and we're getting ready to watch another round of games.
And do I need to ask what you're drinking?
Just Ein Pils, a little beer in a big mug.
Right. You know, Scott, before you left, you were talking about how involved and intricate the ticketing system was, and that there were a lot of security precautions. How has that worked out over there?
Yeah, we thought that it would be very tight security in terms of the tickets, and that if it wasn't you with the ticket going in, that you would not be able to get into the game. But actually, they're only doing random spot checks. Only about 50 to 100 people a game is what I've heard, and we haven't been checked at all. The result is that people are able to scalp tickets. We've seen them go for as much as 1,400 euros, which is more than $1,400. And so definitely scalping has made it a presence here.
Any temptation to do that with your tickets?
Actually, I have to say I was at the Brazil-Australia game, which was a great game to watch, and to watch Brazil play in person was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But the thought did cross my mind as I was walking in and people were holding up signs saying they'd pay several hundred dollars for tickets. But I decided to take the experience instead.
So how are the U.S. fans over there? Are they behaving themselves?
Well, I don't know if they're behaving themselves. They're having a great time. We are having a great time. We've done a lot of face painting, which I've never done for a sporting event before. And there are thousands of them here. And they're very vocal. They're having a great time. They understand the game. I mean, I think it does show that the United States does have a growing reputation for soccer. We played really well against Italy. But Americans have obviously spent a lot of money coming over here and supporting this team. It's the biggest presence for a U.S. soccer team on foreign soil ever. And it's very obvious when you go to the fan festivals before each game.
I suppose Major League Soccer over here might take some heart in that.
You know, the Major League Soccer should definitely benefit from this. It's been a league that's growing, and with another good showing at a World Cup, it only can add to that reputation, and maybe more quality players will join the league, and it will continue to have more of a presence worldwide.
All right, Scott. Well, thanks for taking time out of your beer drinking to join us, and Prost.
All right. Thanks, Tess. Prost.
Marketplace's Scott Jagow at the World Cup in Germany and in Los Angeles. I'm Tess Viglund. Thanks for being with us.
American Public Media.
Sotheby's Auction House is...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.